This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre on Joy 94.9.
Joy, joy, joy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Brought to you live every Tuesday from midday. I'm Adam, and my co-hosts today are Jesse and Carlos. How are we today, peoples?
Excellent.
Yeah, good.
Ready for the radiothon version of Well, Well, Well.
It's ready. Woo! It's Woo! Radiothon week. Yes. So, thanks to Gazman for the morning show. So, people, how are we feeling about this absolutely crappy weather?
Yeah, not feeling it. This morning I woke up and my fingers were already frozen, so...
I think it's great for a change.
It is. I'm not complaining too much, but right now I'm boiling in the studio, so I'm never happy, really.
Oh, I thought you stayed at Johnny's last night. Cold fingers? So, at Well, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTI community, so we're all about sex, health and well-being. But, Jesse, what's planned for everyone on this week's Well, Well, Well show? Because we've got a special radiothon slash something else going on.
Slash something else. Well, we do have three very special guests with us today. First, we'll be chatting with Titan exclusive porn star Jesse Jackman, and we will be talking to kink porn star Dirk Kaber, and finishing off with International Mr. Leather 2003 winner and full-time comedian John Pendle.
I love the way we say kink without actually realizing the three of them are quite kinky.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with something kinky.
So, yes, indeed, we have prizes to give away as well for people who sign up.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's Radiothon. So, it's all about coming in, signing up, becoming a member. This is a not-for-profit organisation. We rely on donations here. So, you guys like listening to us and we love hearing from you. So, if you actually wanted to come and join and be a member, there's many ways to do it. So, you can phone 1300-JOY 694. Well, I mean, that's one way to pay, but you can call 1300-JOY-949 and actually become a member and sign up on the spot. And it's all tax deductible. So donations over $2 are all tax deductible. Membership fees, $96 for a family, $72 for a full, $36 for concession, $22 under 18 and $165 for a business. But what is the prize that you get if you sign up during our show?
Jesse.
During our show, yeah. You get a signed copy of a poster of Jesse and Dirk.
Loves it.
And so if you're the first one to sign up, you'll get that when you come pick it up from the show, from the studio.
Cool. So to get in contact with us today or to get involved in the conversation or to sign up and help support Joy, you can like us via Facebook, which is facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call 1300-JOY-949 or to send us an email on air at joy.org.au and again, SMS 0427-JOY-949, and we get the SMSs and the emails straight here in the studio. So direct contact with porn stars. Hello. So everybody's wanted to reach through that screen every now and then. Now you can.
So act now, pick up the phone, get online, become a member now, 1300-JOY-949 or joy.org.au. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we are on our special edition for Radiothon, where we are encouraging people to sign in.
Exactly. So act now, pick up the phone, get online, become a member now, 1300-JOY-949 or joy.org.au. But joining us in the studio is Jesse Jackman. So welcome to Well, 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 Jesse.
Thank you very, 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 very much. This is my first time ever on radio, so forgive me if I'm a little bit nervous.
We like. So, obviously, you're international porn star.
No, we could say that. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So, how and when did you get started in the porn industry?
Oh, boy. Well, back in 2011, I was actually at Bear Week in Provincetown and giving a friend of mine a ride home to Boston, which is where I live. And I knew he worked in the industry, a guy named Roman Wright. And I was asking questions, making small talk on the drive home. And just sort of out of curiosity, I said, oh, what do you think it's something I could ever do? And he said, well, you could do it, but I really wouldn't recommend it. I'm like, why not? He said, well, because you're a really sort of sensitive guy and people can be really, really critical of porn stars and it's sort of, there's a people sort of look down on them, so you wouldn't take it very well, you know. So I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, no big deal. And then the next day, he flew out to San Francisco to film a couple scenes with Titan Media, which is the studio I work for now. And he ratted them. He ratted me out to them. He said, oh, there's this guy in Boston who's been asking about it, and he wants to do porn, and what do you think? And they looked at my pictures, and the next day they sent me an email saying, well, we want to work with you. What do you think? I'm like, oh, boy. So I thought about it for a couple days, and I'm like, what have I got to lose? So I jumped in and filmed my first scene a month later in August of 2011, and I love it. And I've done, I think, 22 scenes since then.
Nice. That's so good. So when you say that you were overly sensitive, has that had to play a factor? Have you had to, like, cut out any bad comments or, like, turn a blind eye?
Yeah, sometimes I don't read the – some blogs do reviews of our scenes, and yeah. I don't read the comments. Because
don't
I,
listen
I,
to
no,
them, Jesse.
I don't. I'm afraid of what I might read. So the very first comment I ever read on any blog was negative about the scene. And I, since then, I haven't looked back. And I hear the comments are very positive, but I don't want to. I don't even want to.
Fair enough.
And what will be like the best thing of working within the porn industry for you?
Oh, it's hard to narrow it down just to one thing. I mean, obviously, you're getting to, you know, fuck a lot of really, really hot guys. I can say fuck on air, right, in Australia?
In the context of what we're talking about.
Okay, good. Thank God. Sorry. Like I said, I'm nervous. Okay. I get to have sex with a lot of really hot guys, which is great. But it's also like, for me, it's about the connections you make with people. I've met so many amazing people through the industry, both the performers, the staff, meeting people online through Facebook and Twitter, and just the amount of the experiences that I've had and these wonderful people that I've met along the way. That's got to be the best part of it.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's really wonderful.
And so on the flip side then, what would be the worst thing about working porn, or one of the negative sides?
Well,
besides the negative comments,
there is some of the negative. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's far outweighed by the amazing, wonderful people out there that I've met along the way. But with porn itself, it's exhausting. It really is. Having sex on a porn set is, it's a full day job. It's not like when they edit it down, maybe you get 30 minutes of action. But no, this is like 8 hours, and it's tiring. It's very, very rewarding. But by the end of the day, you're exhausted. And then you wake up the next morning and you do it again. Yeah. So it can be, it's rewarding, but it's very, very, very trying.
Yeah. So can we ask you about barebacking? So have you ever done barebacking scenes? You know, why not? And what do you think about companies that promote the barebacking scenes?
Well, I have not done any barebacking scenes. Titan actually has a very strict condom-only policy around that. And I think it's important to set a good example by doing condom-only scenes because there's a lot of... I mean, sex education is lacking enough, at least in the U.S. I'm familiar with that. And for gay and lesbian youth, for gay youth, it's just there's hardly anything. So a lot of youth are turning to porn, which is readily available online, to sort of get their sex education. And I think it's important to set an example that, you know, safer sex practices are important. Now, as far as the barebacking studios are concerned... the issue that I have there is, well, yes, a lot of the studios take very good care of their performers, and there's STD testing, and a lot of the performers are on PrEP, who are negative and who are undetectable if they're positive. You don't get that context in the scene itself. You just see them, you know, diving right in and having bareback sex, and you don't really get the education that's surrounded by it. And if there are kids who are out there who are watching this and getting their sex education through watching, you know, bareback porn, they're going to think, oh, that's what people do. That's what the porn stars do. So I'm going to just dive in and have bareback sex with no surrounding education, not checking up on their sexual health. And that sends a really, I think, a dangerous message.
Absolutely.
Perhaps if there was some way to incorporate some sort of education into the porn around with the bareback studios, like if there was a behind the scenes segment where they discuss sexual health, a lot of people are very interested in seeing the behind the scenes material associated with porn shoots. And so if you had a behind the scenes interview with the stars who were talking about how important it is to monitor your health, that might send a positive message. But I don't really see much of that out there, and that's an issue.
And so, I guess, what is the biggest misconception that people would obviously have about either porn stars or working in the porn industry?
Oh boy. And this may be actually based in historical fact, but it's not a full-time job. It can't be a full-time job. A lot of people think that's all that Dirk, my partner Dirk Haber, and I do is we, you know, shoot porn, travel around the world, visit people, do the whole porn star lifestyle. That's not true at all. I mean, I have a full-time job back home. I'm an engineer by trade. I really only film 6 to 8 scenes a year, and it's a wonderful experience. It's an amazing experience, but it's not a full-time job. It doesn't pay the bills, doesn't pay the mortgage. So it's really, I'm just a regular guy who just happens to, you know, have sex with guys on film once in a while and get the amazing opportunity to come and do outreach here, you know, and all over the world, really. And that's a wonderful bonus, but it's, porn is not all we do. And I think that's the biggest misconception I run into.
This is Well, enjoy 94.9. We are on Radiothon, so please join up. Support the radio station.
Exactly. So pick up the phone, get online, become a member now. Joy, 1-300-JOY-949 or joy.org.au. We've already had 4 people sign up, so this is fantastic. We've had Tex of Reservoir. We've had Felix of Reservoir, which is Tex's son, and Teddy the Teddy Bear. Yeah, good pun there, Tex.
That's exciting.
And then we've also had Stephen come through. He signed up. And also Luke has actually come through as well. So all of these people are going to get signed pictures of Jesse and Dirk. So it's fantastic.
So we have another international porn star here.
We do. Before you get into the questions, though, I just wanted to tell this little story that I heard. A little birdie told me that when Dirk arrived in the Sydney airport, someone actually recognized him, went up to him and was like, "I love your work." Isn't that right?
I hadn't even made it through passport control. We were waiting in line.
I think that's amazing. That's so good. You should tell these stories, you know?
Australians are so friendly is what I'm discovering. It's like everybody simply, you know, comes up and say hi and, you know, wants to get to know you a bit and so forth. It's really been refreshing and so much fun.
Then you've only met the nice people because we really are horrible people.
Yeah, have you met Adam?
So far, you're completely belying that. So.
So first off, you and Jesse are partners in real life. Well, off camera. So what's it like having both yourself and your partner working in porn? Does it make the relationship easier because you both know what everyone's doing for work and what it's actually like to work in the porn industry, or does it make it more difficult?
I suspect it makes it easier in the long run, partly because we sort of understand what our little side career is about. And I mean, I could say it makes it easier not to be jealous in any way. We were warned when we first considered making a formalized relationship out of our friendship that, you know, porn stars dating porn stars don't tend to do very well. And they said it's a jealousy issue, but not a sexually jealousy issue. It's not like, you know, you're off, you know, getting to have sex with that hot guy on that set over there, and he's getting to do the same thing with some other hot guy over here. It's a professional jealousy that, you know, the cycle of how much work you have at any given time ebbs and flows. And it's, you know, ours are never at the same time. So, you know, at the moment when I'm getting a hell of a lot of work, all of a sudden he's kind of in a quiet spell in his career trajectory. And it tends to lead to a certain amount of professional jealousy. And we've seen it even in the time we've been together, some other couples who've come up against this and not done well with it. We thought about this at the time we got together and said, look, we have all these other things in common that really make us a good couple outside of porn. Porn is something we both enjoy doing. It's a very visible part of our lives, but it's actually a very small part of our lives. Mm. And so, you know, we have family in common, you know, the appreciation of family. We have our jobs that we're very passionate about. We have a certain amount of geekiness that we both share and a passion for movies and television and all this other stuff. So, you know, it's... having porn in common is a lovely thing, kind of as a hobby.
And so how do you find the connection with the people that you're working with? Obviously, I mean, do you know them personally, or do you just sort of rock up on set and be like, oh, hey, I'm Dirk, like, we're going to be working together today?
It's different in different circumstances. I mean, at 6 years into the industry now, a lot of the guys, when I come up with them, particularly with Titan, they're already friends of mine. Even if I haven't worked with them on set somewhere, I've met them through like social events or even online or something like that, or just hanging around San Francisco. When it comes up against somebody who I haven't met before, you know, you have to establish that connection somehow. And
How do you do that?
It's kind of funny. I mean, to a certain extent, there is a certain element of like adolescence at a school dance. You know, you first meet and you're kind of, you know... God, is he hot? Oh, God, is he hot? No, I'm not in that class and so forth. The thing is, he's often thinking the same thing, too. So at some point, you know, you get to talking. You get to, you know, the first couple touches or something like that, something invitational. At some point, you're making out, and then all of a sudden, you can't pull each other off of each other, and the director's saying, save it for the camera. No. So at most of the time, that works out pretty well. Every once in a while, you get somebody who's a little more challenging, but...
And so that sort of leads sort of into the next segment, sort of like, so is the scene organic or is it planned? Like, you know, obviously, as you said, you're getting in and they're like, well, save it for the camera, save it for the camera. But then they're like, well, okay, but we're going to do this first and that second and that third.
Yeah,
and
like
that
how
fourth.
Much scripting is there? Do they tell you what to say?
And especially with the amount of, well, I've heard you've done a lot of kink.
I haven't seen it.
And again, different studios are different. You know, certain studios will have figured out, you know, they want this particular position and that position and that position. We're going to finish there with the cum shots like this. We'll go through it first and do all the still photography, you know, from the start to the end. And then you put your clothes back on, start over at the beginning, and you do the actual sex scene. A lot of studios, I mean, I think of Colt in particular, where it's the director simply says, do it. And, you know, if it's yourself and somebody else who's fairly seasoned, or if it's, Titan used to particularly appreciate me for working with newbies because I was very good at that, kind of steering them through the sequence of events without looking like I was doing it. With that sort of sixth sense of where you have to end up and how to make it happen, it just kind of happens organically. It depends. As I say, different places are scripted more so than others. Kink, on the other hand, if you're dealing with bondage scenes, that sort of thing, hopefully people have thought out ahead of time, you know, you have to stop in between segments to redo or do rope work or figure out how that suspension's going to work.
And also, you've got to have the props there. So if you don't know exactly what scenes you're going to be doing, do you have the right equipment on set to do it?
There's always a run back to the prop room and say, actually, it would be really cool to get that. Go, you know, and so 10 minutes later, he shows up again, that sort of thing. It's kink takes longer to set up just because things take longer to set up. And there's a lot more safety concern for a lot of these settings.
So can I ask a question that might be deemed as a bit silly, but I'm not sure. What is more difficult and why in filming a porn scene, topping or bottoming?
They both have their challenges. Bottoming, it's, you know, of course, making sure that everything is nice and squeaky clean is probably the biggest challenge of it all. The top usually has a lot more physical work to do. You go through a lot more blood sugar and a lot more sweat being top than you do as bottom, usually. They both have their fun points and they both have their work points, of course. So,
how very diplomatic answer.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love both. So it's, yeah. In fact, my favorite scenes are usually the ones in which I get to do both. So,
cool.
And so you've been involved in a range of different types of porn. So what would be your favorite, or what would you prefer, or what do you prefer?
As nice as it is, I mean, the easy answer is I love anything where I'm working with somebody I'm just connected with. You know, good sex with good friends is always awesome. I get the most out of doing something that's a little unusual, and that's usually the kink stuff and something more extraordinary. Even if it means shooting outside, dungeon play of some sort, bondage, that sort of thing. It's getting actually rarer and rarer to see in porn a more extraordinary kink and bondage and so forth. Kink.com still does a lot, but that's about it.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
And this is Well on Joy 94.9. And now we are joined by International Man of Leather 2003 and stand-up comedian John Pendell. John, welcome to Well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, John, you were International Mr. Leather 2003. How was that experience for people that, I guess, are not familiar with the leather scene or what that title means?
Okay. It's a lot like being shot through the air from a cannon and fly through the air for 12 months and then you land with a bump.
Hopefully on leather. So what was the process in, like, I mean, is there a voting? Is there like a, you know, a swimsuit segment, or how do you actually go about becoming International Leatherman?
Well, I won a local title in London, which was Mr. Hoist. And for that, all I had to do was get on a table in the bar and heckle the crowd before they heckled me. It's a lot like winning the 100 meters at your local bars and then finding out you've qualified for the Olympics. And you're the only person from your country who's going. International Mr. Leather, bit of a bigger deal. This year, 18,000 people went.
Wait, I hear a rumor that you are the first and only non-American.
That's not true. It's about every 5 years, a non-American wins it.
Oh,
pretty much every year, a non-American is second or third place. I was the first British person to win.
Oh, okay, sorry. That might have been what I read.
And then the contest in Chicago, when I did it, it lasted 5 days from registration to announcing the winner. You wear leather for the 5 days. So that's all I wore was just leather. And that's kind of 10% of the marks. 10% is your stage presence. And then 80% is what comes out of your mouth. Because the person who wins is traveling the world on their own. And they have to talk to journalists and give speeches and represent the community and have something interesting to say, not just give the politically correct answer, but also make people think. So they need somebody who's got, hopefully, something between their ears.
Mm. And so are there certain events that you actually have to attend throughout the year as sort of your, I guess, duties or responsibilities?
No, absolutely. There's no restriction. You can do anything you like. So some of the guys who've won it wanted a career in porn. It's a good entry into that. Some just wanted to go to a black party or a white party or attend every pride parade and wave on top of a bus. They got to do that. I wanted to extend it past the end of the year, so I knew I'd have to show I had another skill than just wearing a sash and sitting on top of a bus. So as a filter, I said I would only attend events where they gave me microphone time. And as a result, I managed to extend my year to 8 years because people realized that if they booked me, I could host fundraisers or leather contests or give speeches or teach workshops. They knew that I had another skill than just wearing the sash.
That's which great. Which is basically one of the main reasons why we contacted you.
Yeah.
And you've been here, well, we've been working with you guys for, you know, the weekend, and still we have some events to come up. What do you think, what would you say is the highlight of the amount of workshops that we did on this weekend for you?
The highlight for me has been being adopted by five bears who sat in the front row of my comedy show, and they've been not exactly leading me astray, but I have a bump on my head. So that's been fun. And the low point was nobody warned me about traffic in Melbourne on a Sunday. Just avoid Punt Street and Hoddle Street on a Sunday. That should be at the airport as a great big sign.
Yeah.
Melbourne, don't think about moving on a Sunday.
So going back to, I guess, the leather stuff, when did you first get into leather and how did you know that it was something for you?
My second earliest memory, age 4 1/4, it was October 1975. I watched Doctor Who and the Pyramids of Mars on TV. There was an alien pretending to be an Egyptian god who built pyramids in the English countryside that were patrolled by robot mummies. And the robot mummies had to have a stuntman inside, so they were very big, very broad-chested, big-shouldered. If you trespassed in the enemy lair, these two robot mummies would come up either side and their chests would be at your neck level and they would get tighter and tighter and tighter, crush you and step back and you'd fall down dead. And at 4 1/4, I remember watching it and thinking, I want that to happen to me.
Do you remember when I was interviewing you yesterday, John, I said I'm getting major deja vu with this. Yeah. You know why? Jesse told me the exact same story. Jesse, who was on radio earlier, he said the exact same thing. I'm like, this Doctor Who, he has definitely planted a lot of seeds in boys' minds.
Days, they didn't have CGI, so any of the monsters had to fit a stunt performer inside. So all of them, like the giant robot or the mandrills, they all had great big shoulders, big chests, very tall, very imposing, because somebody had to be inside them.
See Jesse in the background, he's loving it.
And so obviously, as you said, you wanted to do something a little bit different with that's why you've gone on for 8 years. Yeah. So how did you sort of find your way into stand-up comedy? Is it something you've always wanted to do and this just gave you the platform to sort of, as you said, take the mic and sort of have a bit of a talk around the room? And
well, part of it was monetary in that I was being flown to events, but it was cost neutral because they pay my expenses, but I didn't get extra money for it. And so I thought if I could find a way of doing this in the United Kingdom, then I can make a living from it. But you can't do leather events full time. So I thought if I can just tell the jokes, I can get employed by comedy clubs full time. So that was part of it. And hating my job. was another part.
So we did have a fantastic show at Hares and Hyenas on Sunday night. Yeah. That was the closing of the Down and Dirty weekend. However, we still have some more to come. Yes. And
I'll be at Molly's on Saturday night, Molly's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
So I'll do half an hour of stand-up there. If you came to Hare and Hyenas, some of the jokes will be familiar to you, but if you didn't go, come along, they'll all be new.
Mm. And we also have the Life After IML, where yes. you get to be interviewed by Vic Leather. It's presented by Vic Leather.
That's on Friday night, and I'll try and put some jokes in that too.
Excellent. So what type of topics for people that didn't go to the Hare's Hyenas show or are thinking about going to the show at Molly's, like what type of topics do you cover in your show? Like, is it about leather? Is it about fetish? Is it like, or is it, you know, completely vanilla, or do you adapt it to your different audiences?
Nothing in my life is vanilla. So, yeah, it's autobiographical and a little bit observational about the leather and kink communities.
Can I ask a question? I know we're talking about the, you know, the comedy stuff, but you mentioned something yesterday when you were talking about misconceptions about leather and kink, and the one thing that community gets it very right is consent.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really great if you could talk about that a little bit on radio.
Okay. Well, in the kink community, consent isn't considered to be an upfront issue. It's not like you say yes at the beginning of the evening and then we're going to have a scene. Consent is a moment-by-moment gift, and anybody within the scene can withdraw it at any time, and there's no shame, no fault. It doesn't matter that you went out for dinner with them or that you've had seven cocktails or that you're already naked in their bed. The second that you use a safe word, which is a word you agree to stop, or you've changed your mind, or if you're in a public space at kink events, we tend to have dungeon monitors, they can stop it too. Anybody can stop at any moment. And quite often I find mainstream society looks on kinky people as being perverts and there's something morally wrong with us. I think the idea of consent that we've got is morally right, because I read in the papers where even judges say, oh, well, she was asking for it, or, you know, she'd kind of said yes at the beginning, mm-hmm. or you've got to expect a man to do that. You can't lead him on because he has urges. And what did you think was going to happen? Women need to take some responsibility. No. Consent means you can have the kind of sex you want, but also you don't have to have any kind of sex you don't want. Mm-hmm. And I would love the concept of consent to be broadened in mainstream societies. They understand it's
too.
A moment-by-moment gift, and anybody can withdraw it. Anybody can say no. You don't have to be pressured into anything you don't want to do.
Yeah, I really like that.
And I guess just one last thing before we let you go. So once people find out that you're a comedian and stand-up comedy, they say, tell me a joke.
Yeah.
So, like, what would be your standard one-liner joke?
No, I would tell them, I'm a professional, pay me some money.
So, Carlos, even though it's Down and Dirty weekend maybe over, there's still a fair amount of events still to come. I think John Pendle did mention that he had another show at Molly's on Saturday.
Correct. Why don't I give you the run-out of what's coming up? Tonight, we're having a forum on porn versus reality. So, basically, we're going to talk about how working on the porn industry relates to real life, basically. This is going to be emceed by our guest, John Pendle. And Dirk and Jesse are going to be there. So it's in Man House, 7 to 9 p.m. Tomorrow, Dirk and Jesse are going to be in Hide and Seek with Dean Beck. Thursday, all of them are going to be at the Woods here at Joy FM as well. On Friday, we have the Life After IML, International Mr. Leather, with John Pendle. That's brought to you by Vic Leather. On Saturday, we're going to be at Molly's comedy gig at 10 p.m. 11 p.m., we're going to be downstairs at Apollo in Circuit.
Oh, yes. This is my party. Oh, this is when I get to talk about it.
Yes,
I got excited because...
So exactly what's happening at Apollo?
Well, nothing really except people, you know, kind of taking their clothes off and dancing, a dance party. But the meaning behind it is what's really
love
exciting.
Love how you go like nothing, like that's what you do every weekend.
No, I know, but it's not like what...
I know you've been to Burning Man.
Isn't that what you do every weekend?
I know you've been to Burning Man, but come on.
All right, you know
yeah, so,
it.
Yeah, so what's happening? What's extra exciting about
well,
it?
What's extra exciting is because the campaign that runs Staying Negative, where we launch real life stories of gay, bisexual and trans men, hasn't really done a big event, and this is kind of a big launch one, and we will be launching Dirk's story. He's we've done the interview, and I guess it's a date where you launch it, so that's when it will go live online. But pretty much John, Jesse and Dirk are going to be there hanging out and you can meet them in person. And it's a dance party that's kind of called the Staying Negative Apollo Dance Party.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so, Carlos, what's happening on the Sunday? There's more events coming up on the Sunday, isn't
there? Oh, yeah, yeah, plenty of events. Sunday we have our last forum, Two Bears or More. It's about relationships, negotiating relationships, what to negotiate, how often. You know, zero discordant relationships, all that kind of stuff that we can negotiate within a relationship.
Anything you can negotiate can be negotiated.
I think there was one thing that you'd mentioned to me that was going to be in that, was sort of like getting past breaking the rules. So even when you set up the boundaries and you set up the rules, what happens if you break them? Because everyone can talk about sort of negotiating, this is what's going to happen in a relationship, this is how we're going to be, but what? How do you actually go through the motions of when those are actually broken? Which I think is something really important and really essential.
Absolutely.
Especially when it comes to communication and if you want to keep the relationship going.
How
and things
important
like that.
Is communication?
Absolutely. But again, if you want to come along, it's best to book a free ticket because these are all free events, people. Free events.
Like free.
Correct.
I thought you were about to start singing then for a second. I was like, no.
Just stop.
So by heading to the VAC webpage, which is vac.org.au, and then finding the calendar under the events section, and that's got everything listed where you can book tickets because spaces are limited for some of these things. So if you're really interested, come along and get involved.
And later that night on Sunday as well.
There's more?
We're going to be at Fur, which is actually the first event for Southern Hibernation.
Okay.
Oh.
So what's that all about? Like
Southern Hibernation.
Fur or Southern Hibernation, you know.
Well, Fur is a dance party. Southern Hibernation is a week of events that the Vic Bears actually put on place every single year. They have plenty of events.
I never get to go to these dance parties.
Some of them are men only. The ones that you want to go to, they're men only.
Damn it. I should really just be a gay man.
Yeah.
You're much more appropriate.
You can try that.
So what's Southern Hibernation?
Well, Southern Hibernation, it's a week of events, basically, that Vic Bears put together. It starts on June the 7th. It finishes on Sunday the 14th. If you go to Vic Bears' website, you can have all the information on these events. But they have Barioki.
Barioki, that's so cute.
I know.
What's Barioki?
Well, it's karaoke sung by bears.
Oh, Barioki. I didn't understand his accent. I was like, Barioki. I thought like Barry and Yo. Okay. Oh, Barioki. I got it now.
There's the Underbear Party,
oh,
which is always...
Underbear. Oh, but, I can't handle this.
Okay. you know, they have dinners. They have City Stomp through the city. There's heaps.
So there's no short. It's always heaps. A really, really, really busy week, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's people coming from all over Australia, so it should be a really good week.
Fantastic. Well, obviously, you mentioned before, Carlos, that we just gone through the Down and Dirty weekend, and obviously there was forums and workshops and events and everything like that. Out of everything that you went to, what was the thing that you found most interesting?
I think there was a couple of drug-related forums that were really interesting. The conversations that took place there were really interesting. The panel at the Wired Sex one was quite engaging. It was,
Yeah, I found that really, really interesting as well. I think it was because it was a little bit more informal. So, I mean, it was in the basement of Club 80, so, I mean, how much more informal can you get? But
oh, you can get a lot more informal than that.
But I don't know. I guess it was one of those things where it was everyone was sort of asking questions and getting involved and sort of putting across perspectives and opinions because there was, you know, there wasn't a lot of people, but it actually felt like really quite intimate and relaxed and very conversationalist. So I thought that was a really, really good forum.
Yeah, and the other thing is the partners that went and participated as well. We had Harm Reduction Victoria. We have the Alcohol and Other Drugs part of VAC going to it. Rewire 2.0 as well. Hepatitis Victoria went to the one on sex within the porn industry, which was another kind of really interesting forum.
I've really learned something in that forum. Trust me, people. Oh, I learned.
So we would like to say thank you so much to Jesse Dirk and John for coming in today, and it was really, really great to chat with all of you.
Yeah.
If you could see into the studio, they're all clapping and smiling at me, so it's really good.
At you, at all of us. Hello.
Yes, yes. It's not about you. It's not your show. Hello.
It usually is, but okay.
Well, look, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and as it is Radiothon week, sign up, call 1300-JOY-949.
Act now, pick up the phone, get online, become a member now, 1300-JOY-949 or joy.org.au.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and today we have chatted with international porn stars Jesse and Dirk and with international comedian and IML 2003 John Pendel. So, guys, it's Radiothon week. And do you know how many people we've had join? It has been an absolute avalanche, so we are really appreciated.
Goodness, we really have.
So the people that we have to give shout-outs to that we haven't done already is Stas from Doncaster, who actually became a member, Scott of South Yarra, Rob of Richmond, Mike from Clifton Hill, who's provided a donation of $500.
Wow, good
on
you.
Loving you. We've got Jack from Brunswick. We've also got Naomi of Mill Park. Hey, I'm from Mill Park. Love you, Naomi. We've also got Zamil of Albert Park, and he says, keep up the fabulous work, guys. And we've got Viv from St Kilda. So thanks to everyone who's actually donated. And become.
What was that,
that
Jesse?
That was supposed to be the applause button, and I pressed the cow mooing button. I'm so sorry.
I knew you were going to do that to me at some stage today.
I didn't do it on purpose.
But obviously, as I said, we've got the one prize, and that actually goes out to Stephen, who actually was the first person besides Tex, Felix, and Teddy, who we work with at VAC, to register or become a member with Joy. But as part of the memberships, you guys go into a whole big bunch of prizes to potentially win a Mercedes-Benz Berwick.
Mate, let's sign up.
Oh, absolutely. So it's thanks to Joy's Radiothon partner, Mercedes-Benz Berwick. They've donated a 2003 smart car for two, including all on-road costs, which is actually a really good deal, valued at $21,558.73. So, like, hello, sold, you know, for a small prize. Or for a small price,
yep.
Great prize.
Not too bad.
Exactly. So this has been Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Have you guys really enjoyed the show?
I've really loved it. We need to get porn stars in more often, Carlos.
It has been fantastic.
And Mr. Leather and, you know, comedian guys. Why not? Thanks for staying with us, guys. This is Adam, Carlos and Jesse from Well, Well, Well team at Victorian AIDS Council. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.